Yoina Perik Aleph Pasibalid, a new sugya. Some very interesting things coming our way. Okay, so we're up to Pasik Dalid, which is on page 408. Okay, 408. V'Hashem heitil ruach gedoylo el hayom. Hashem. Yonah goes down to the ship, and they're going to Tarshish, they're traveling. The journey has begun. V'Hashem heitil, Hashem has now cast down ruach gedoylo, a very strong wind, el hayom, to the yom. V'yihi sar gadol v'yom. We have different expressions. We have over here a ruach, we have a sar, in the yom, bayom, we have el hayom, and now it's bayom. Okay, notice the difference. The ruach gedoylo is el hayom, and the sahar gadol is bayom. Ve'ho'aniya, the ship chishuva lehishaver. If you would translate those words literally, it would sound like the ship is a living creature, and the living creature is thinking, has thoughts. And the ship thinks, you know something? I am in trouble. It might come that I will be broken apart. Pasuk Hey, one more pasuk. Vayi ri'u, they were afraid. This word, you know, this is the famous word in the Shira. Vayar Yisrael asayod ha'gidoyla she'os Hashem b'Mitzrayim. Vayi ri'u ha'omes Hashem. Vayaminu ba'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. If the Baal Kriya, if he says vayiru, lo yotzo yidei chayvase, because word vayiru means they saw. Vayiru, if the reish is a shvona, it means they were afraid. It's a very important word. There are two yuds, and there is a meseg underneath the yud, which makes the reish. It's a chirik malei, which makes the reish into a Shvona, the tenu, the tenu gedoyla, the chiruk malei, which means they were afraid. Vayi re'u hamalochim, the sailors were afraid. Vayizaku, they cried each individual el Elohov to their god. So they were pagans. The people over here on the ship were all pagans. They were praying to. To gods. What did they do? They took the kelim, the utensils, all of the luggage. They threw it into the yom while they parkel me aleihem in order to make the ship lighter. The yoina yorad el yarkase hasafina. Yoina went down to the end. The yarkase means the edge of the boat. By yishkaf, he went to sleep. By ye rodam, and he went into a deep sleep. Shocking, huh? Your life over here is a danger, and what do? You go to sleep. A person in such a matzav on the Titanic, I don't think anyone on the Titanic, when they realize that the Titanic is about to sink, I hardly doubt anyone's, okay, I'm going back to my cabin, I'm going to go take a nap. Is that what happened in the Titanic? It's not the way they make it look in the movies. When there's a panic, and the ship is about to capsize, no one's going into their cabin to go to sleep. And yet here Yonah has no trouble, no problem with this. He goes vayishka vayer, and he actually fell asleep. Didn't just go to sleep, he actually went into a very deep sleep. Okay, so obviously there's so much going on. Yes. Let's see how we can get through these psukim. Pasuk Dalet in the Mitzudos David. Let's start with the Mitzudos David on page 409. V'Hashem heitil ruach gedoyla. I'm sorry, I'm running from the wrong. Yeah, hey, Teal. Okay, Mitzudas David, page 409, towards the bottom. The last line in the Mitzudas David, hey, Teal, he sia vehimshich es hayam. He translates the word hey, Teal. It's not such an easy word to translate. And then let's jump really to the Mitzudas Tzion. Hey, Teal means inyan hasso'ah, to move. Okay, maga umasa. The Masois, the Jewish people, they traveled in the desert for 40 years. The Masois means to travel. They moved. They relocated. They relocated. What is it? What's the exact term of Ela?
He translates it as camp. cast.
Okay. Hashem cast a ruach gedola el hayam. He threw out. Okay, you're right. That's really what that's the civil translation. Yeah. However, that's not. It's you're right. It's, but it's not what. That's what the ungulus targums. Well, one thing at a time. The mitzudo siyoin says hey til inyan hasa'a. The word hasa'a means to move. The ruach nosa, the wind relocated. And the ungulus in Parashas Beshalach translates the word nosa, tirgim ungulus nital. Nital means to be taken, or I guess it means really to be relocate. And
that's
here
why the Yom Bar Ben El says that, in other words, they wanted to go back to shore. They weren't far from shore, but God placed the ship in a spot where the fish would be.
Uh-huh. Hashem, he actually brought
the ship
into this specific location.
Where it had to be.
Okay.
And so they wanted to go back to shore, but they weren't able to go.
Okay. So what's coming out according to the Mitzudos is a very interesting insight that the word hetil is not a Hebrew word.
Well, in modern Hebrew,
yeah,
tilim are missiles.
Okay, that's interesting. Tilim are missiles. And where does it come from? It obviously comes from the word hetil, something which moves from one location to the next. It's very interesting. But where they're taking the word from, according to the Mitzudos, it's really rooted in an Aramaic word. Okay, because the correct word that we should have expected would be hesia. The Hashem hesia ruach gedoylo el hayim. Hashem, he transferred. Hashem transferred, according to his translation, does not necessarily mean to cast. He's not using that translation. He's saying the word hesia means to move. Eila maaseh b'nei Yisrael does not mean that Hashem threw us around. Hashem didn't take us and we weren't a basketball or a tennis ball that Hashem would just throw around in the desert.
No,
Hashem delicately, what?
He moved.
Oh, move this around. So the word moving this around is not the same translation as cast.
Yes, because it's to cause.
Cast has a connotation. You cause to move, but that's right. Cause to move is a better translation. The word cast has a connotation. You don't pay much attention. You let go. You throw it over there. You come home, you drop your coat. I don't think
you're reading into that.
Yeah.
The word cast is a little bit of...
You cast the rod, fishing rod, so you toss the line out.
Well, there's no kavana. There's no precision.
You're throwing it to a spot.
To a spot without precision.
Who said that?
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but Ezra says with a precision.
Right, so I'm just trying... Yeah.
Fisherman doesn't know what's going on.
You aim it.
You aim it, okay. All right, but the translation of the Judaic press for the word "and Hashem cast a ruach gedolah el hayom." I'm not obviously very knowledgeable.
No, you know what it is? It's not a word that is commonly used anymore. But that's what it means.
But I'm just in my limited mind vocabulary. The word "cast" generally, when it's used, connotes a throwing of something without much thought. You take, like you said, the fishing rod. You throw it to a general area.
The act of throwing. Not necessarily. Could be precise.
No one that I know translates the Masois in Parashas Matos and Masei as Hashem cast us around in the desert.
No, of course they might have felt it.
But no one uses that word because that's not what the word masa means. Masa, our understanding, means Hashem very carefully, deliberately, with the ultimate precision, took us where we needed to go for 40 years from one location to the next. Over here we're learning from the Mitzudos that the word hetil is not a Hebrew word. Hetil is an Aramaic word. It is an Aramaic word which is the translation of the word masa, hesia. So first the question is, why didn't the Pasuk use the word V'Hashem Hesia Ruach Gedoyla? Hashem very delicately he transferred a very strong wind, El Hayam. Okay, it doesn't say that. It says the Aramaic equivalent. And he's telling us there, how do we know the word Nosa means, it means in the Targum, in Parashas Beshalach, translates the word Nosa, which is the same Sheresh as the word Masa, to Tirgem Unkelis Nital. So Hashem, according, and now we look at the Mitzudos David, Heitil, Heisia, Vehimshich, Hashem very delicately transferred, he moved, and Vehimshich, that's the word, Vehimshich means that he drew it, El Hayam, Ruach Gedoylo, V'hoya Sa'ar Gadol Bayam. So I'm just making an observation that the word cast, it's a very nice translation, and that's what probably percolates in our mind, the word Heitil, for the translation of this word. We probably all, some point in time, read Yonah and Yom Kippur, and we've come across that translation. But when you look at the Mitzudos David, maybe we'll see other commentators that will say differently. I'm just saying that in my very limited usage of this word, the word cast is not what the Mitzudos David would have used to translate this pasuk in English.
A live thing, but you use the other word cast for inanimate.
No, but look in Parashas Beshalach. There is the same exact thing, the Ruach Nosa. In Parashas Beshalach, there's a wind. Here, there's also a wind. Hashem, Heitil, Ruach Gedoyla. It's the same thing.
Right. You're right.
We're using cast in this casting lots.
Exactly.
When we expect some result, positive or negative, you're casting a fishing line, you're expecting to get something, to catch, casting fishing nets. So I think cast,
All right, okay, fine, okay.
Look right across the Ibn Ezra.
Okay, I know, everyone's going to have a whole different interpretation of this one. 100%, 100%. Okay, there are different, that's the beauty of language. Every language has its words, which has, there's many times there's no translation from one language to the next. It's a very common phenomenon in all languages, and it's certainly true in Lashon HaKodesh and in Aramaic. It has a certain connotation that you cannot bring out well in another language, and sometimes you need many words, and sometimes even if you have many words, it just doesn't work. Like everyone, I think the most popular example, which just opens up the whole topic, is the word mechutan. There's no, in English, we all are fluent in English, we think we are, and that there's no English equivalent to refer to the parents of your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law. In English, is there a word in English?
No, that is the singular word.
No, that's from the child's perspective.
Not your in-laws.
Not your in-laws.
No, that's your son.
There is no translation.
There's no singular term for it. But in some foreign languages, I'm told there is.
But that's not correct.
It's not precise.
It's not precise. It means my son's, my son or daughter's in-laws. But from your perspective, there is no word. How do you refer? It means my child's in-laws. But in Yiddish, it's called a mechutan. In Hebrew, is there a word? I don't think there's a word in Hebrew either for a mechutan. It's not a Hebrew, that's a Yiddish word. Modern Hebrew. Okay, so here as well.
So there are some, I'm told, there are some foreign languages in which such a term exists.
A mechutan.
Not known to us, but.
Okay, fine. But in Hebrew, see, the answer they give, everyone, this is a very popular rabbi, Yashav Rach, because by us, we're so close. So we have a special word called mechutan. That's not a good answer, because in Hebrew, there is no word. It's a Yiddish word, but it's not a Hebrew word. In Hebrew, there is also no such word. Any event, we have here this very unique word, heitil. Okay, we'll just bring out the point that according to the Mitzudos David is telling us what heitil is not a Hebrew word, it's an Aramaic word, which is a translation for the word nosa, just like we find in Parshas Beshalach. Okay, next, Mitzudos David, turn the page, to page 410. Ve'ho'aniya, the ship. Ritzen lemar. Anshe ho'aniya. Choshu. Okay, this was the question I asked you when we started. That what is moving that the ship thought? Is the ship a living creature that the ship actually thinks? Okay, is there such a concept? So some of you want to be enter the world of Kabbalah, you'll tell me, yeah. Every single object, every blade of grass has a mind of its own. Every blade of grass has a guardian angel, has a mind of its own. Is that really true? Who knows? No one knows who's to say. But the Mitzudos Dod al Derech Pshat says, from our perspective, it's a piece of wood. A ship is just a piece of wood. And what can it possibly mean here that the ship had a thought? Chishuva lehishaver. Well, a thought that my days are numbered, my end is near. So he says, don't take the pasuk literally. The people who were on the ship, they thought that the boat will break apart due to the intensity of the wind. That is bringing it, is driving it. With an intensity, it's chasing after it. The nidnudrav meharamas hagalim. It's shaking intensely due to the raising of the waves. Uchvechovid masa hasfina meinea haradifa. Now he's saying over here something which is scientific, which I know nothing about. The weight of the boat meinea is withholding, is providing resistance. He already saying he's discussing over here some very deep. Deep concepts in physics. I can tell you, I have no clue what all this means, is that if the ship is light, then the ship can go up and down like a yo-yo. Up and down, and there are forces in the sea that are pushing the boat up, pushing it down, up and down. Good! So let the ship follow the forces of physics and go up and down. But being that the boat is very heavy and there's intense gravity, the gravity on the ship is resisting the nature of the waves which are pulling it up and down. This resistance is causing friction. And this friction is what's going to cause the boat to rip apart. That's what he's explaining. Now, is that taka true?
Well, no, because the ship's taking ballast. And the ship takes in water.
Yeah, because you want it to have weight.
Yeah.
Adarabha, you want it to be...
All the cobblestones which were brought to Manhattan from Europe, empty ships were coming, loaded with...
Stones. Exactly. Right. So this principle has to be understood in context. It could be that, you know, there's a balance. Too much is also no good.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's too heavy, it'll capsize. But it's not a matter of capsizing. See, over here, you have to be very clear what he writes. He's not, over here, the concern here is not that the ship will capsize.
But we have another incident. And the doors were brought from...
The doors, right. The doors, they threw... very good. They brought the Nicanor. When Nicanor, they made these beautiful doors in Alexandria, Shul Mitzrayim in Egypt, these beautiful doors for the Beis HaMikdash, and they brought it to Eretz Yisrael, and there was a storm, and the sailors had no choice but to throw the doors overboard, and Nicanor had enormous tsar, and Hashem saw his pain, and miraculously Hashem caused that the doors, they cleaved to the bottom of the ship, and it was brought to Eretz Yisrael. And even though later in time when there was an opportunity to replace the doors with something more beautiful, they chose to leave these doors because these doors, there was a miracle which occurred for these doors, and everyone remembered the story, so they never changed the doors. Okay, but let's go back over here. What is the issue? Okay, the issue over here is, the Pasuk makes it very clear, this, everything over here, I have to appreciate, because everything here is very symbolic. Especially according to the Gra, that we're discussing the Neshama and the Guf, and even according to the Mefarshim, we're discussing very, very, very lofty concepts. And the issue here is not that the ship will capsize. That's not the issue. The issue is the ship will be ripped to smithereens, that all the boards will come apart. Now, if the issue is the ship capsizing, then there's a whole different dynamic. There's a whole different issue of... Strategy of weight. Adra, maybe we should have more weight on the ship to balance, to counteract the other forces. So, and like, I think that's really more common. I think today you don't really hear about...
Ballast. It's called ballast.
Ballast. Today you don't hear, today that's really what the issue is. Today the issue is ballast. Issue today you don't really are concerned. You don't hear in the modern world all the very high high-tech materials, you're concerned the ship's going to be ripped to pieces. But here, ballast is not the issue. The issue is the ship is fighting against conflicting forces. It's a yo-yo, going up and down, up and down, up and down. It's also heavy. It has weight, gravity, and that gravity is conflicting with the other forces. And that friction is what threatens to rip the ship to pieces. And therefore, the solution is, let's make the ship lighter. Okay, that is the issue. I remember I saw this video not that long ago, but I told you about it's very fascinating, you know, Light of Yonah. I think it was Ashkoch that actually saw that video, because I always come back and think about it. You should go on YouTube. There's a very good video about the United States, about the seven generations of warships. Seven, it's probably the most expensive toy that the United States owns, are their warships. They have extremely, probably the most sophisticated technology in the world is found on the warships that are owned by the United States. And the seventh, I remember correctly, the upgrade in this from the fifth to the sixth generation was steel. The fifth generation warship was made from wood. It was wood. And what was the problem? That Nazis or in World War II, the Germans, whoever it was, the Russians, they bombed the warship and it caught fire. It caught on fire. These big, massive warships which have planes, whatever they're called, and it caught on fire. So the newer version, the next generation, was made from very, very thick steel and over the top. And it was extremely, extremely heavy. And because of that, the problem was they were afraid that it would capsize. They couldn't. So they had to do extreme things in order to guarantee it would still stay afloat, even though it was extremely heavy due to the thickness. The new version, version number 7, they decided it's not worth it. It's not worth making the ship out of such heavy metal material because of many other considerations. And they went backwards. They didn't make it out of wood, but it does not have strength, anything near the strength of Generation 6. Generation 7 is much lighter and much more vulnerable. And they compensated. They compensated by just protecting itself with more systems, more missiles, a whole collection of systems to protect itself. But if it is hit, it will go down much faster than Generation 6. The Generation 7, I think, with the Nimitz, right? The USS Nimitz is much more vulnerable than whatever their sixth generation. And again, the compensation was, so we'll have a lot more radar and missiles and this and that. So you see how far it goes. Weight is obviously, you know, United States, they're obviously this their toy, their pride and joy. This represents the might and power of the United States, these mighty warships, and it's all about weight. It's all about weight. And here, it's very fascinating and discussing over here that when it's too heavy, and the problem with the weight is it's going to be ripped to shreds, and they have to immediately do something. They threw Vayotilu es hakelim. Notice the same word. The same. Now here it makes sense. Here is something which you want to say cast. Yeah, that's right. We have over here all the luggage overboard. I don't care where the luggage goes. That's the way I'm familiar with the word cast. They just cast it overboard. You throw it overboard. Doesn't say, and yet, now you got a problem. Because according to the Mitsudois, he's locking himself in. He's telling us what Vayotilu means what. It means very careful movement. Hashem took the Ruach from Shemayim, and he delicately transferred it to this location to bring a desired result. That fits very well when it comes to Parashas Peshalach. And if it's very well,
Peshalach, the Pesach you're quoting is not Peshalach.
No?
It's in Bamidbar by the slough. Vayogo salvim in Eberuach, on Sameis Hashem, Vayogo salvim in
Eberuach. I think there's another pasuk, though. Isn't there another pasuk?
They're quoting here is from...
Okay, fine, okay. But here we have, now we have a real problem. Okay, and obviously there's a lot of symmetry, there's a lot of repetition, it's very, very common, the words are being repeated again and again in the same pasuk in order to draw our attention to something, and it's something we have to take note of as we go through the Mefarshim. Let's go back to the Mitzudos David. Let's go back to the Mitzudos David. Okay, on page 410, V'aniyah ritzon Elohim, anshe haniyah chashu shaniyah tishaver, it will be broken to smithereens. Mechoze karuach hamalicha beredifa, due to the intensity of the wind that is moving, it causing movement, beredifa v'nid nud, with an intense persecution. It's pursuing it, and it's causing it to shake. Rav, with an intensity, meharama sagalim, the waves are taking the ship up and down. The kovid masaba, on the other hand, is friction, because the weight of the svina meinei haredifa is withholding, is preventing it from going up and down. Gravity cannot react to this movement, and this friction vusiba l'shviras hasvina. Okay, let's now take a look at Rashi. Rashi back in pasuk aleph. Pasuk dalid. Over here on page 410. Chishava lishaver nidmes ki'ilu hi nishberes. So notice Rashi is not in line with the Mitzudos. According to Mitzudos, chishava lishaver means the anshei hasafina. It occurred to them that their moments, their days are numbered, their moments are numbered, are limited. They might drown. That's not what Rashi says. Chishva Lishava, he's giving us a very unusual translation of the word Chishva. It appeared. Okay? Dimyoin.
It felt like.
Dimyoin. What is a thought? A thought is a fantasy. It's a dimyoin. Imagination. Oili ki nidmesi. Woe to me who said that. Oili ki nidmesi ki besaych. Who said that pasuk? I forgot who said that pasuk. Who? Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu. Oili ki nidmesi. Yirmiyahu said, thank you. Oili ki nidmesi. Woe to me. I'm hallucinating. I'm in a world of fantasy. It fits very well. What Rashi says is in a way much more precise than what the Mitzudos David says. Because the Mitzudos David is injecting a word that does not appear. The Anshei HaSafina... What? Yishayahu? Yishayahu said it? Okay, Yishayahu. So over here we have over here, according to the Mitzvah Stavid, over here is a little bit forced because he's injecting words that do not appear in the pasuk. The people on the ship, it occurred to them that the boat may be ripped apart. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says a much more precise. The word chishva means, what does a chishva mean? A thought. What is a thought? A thought, unfortunately, I mean, depends, is just a figment of your imagination. It's not necessarily real. It's a dimyoin.
Feeling.
It's not a feeling. It's a dimyoin. A person, you're living in a world of fantasy. A thought is... I don't have to explain, you understand. It's a dimyoin, it's an illusion. So that is the real use of the word. We think the word machshava means a thought. No, machshava maybe is just a borrowed expression. It's the real word for a machshava is a dimyoin. It's an illusion. The question is, what do we do with that dimyoin? Do we take that dimyoin and do we put it into something practical in the real world? It's the sandbox. It's the testing ground. In your mind, you have to make a decision. So in your mind, let me play out all the scenarios. If I say yes, then this and this will happen. If I say no, this will happen. If I say maybe, this will happen. If I gives some other type of convoluted answer to the question, then this, in your mind, you are dimyoin. You're fantasizing all the possible scenarios and looking into the future how it plays out. That's the testing ground. That's your sandbox. You know what a sandbox is? In computers, when you test, it's called a sandbox. So when you plan out into the future, you're in a world of dimyon. And then, okay, in my mind I've gone through all the scenarios. Let's now select what appears to be the best scenario, and let's now put it into the world of reality. So your mind is the world of dimyon. So that's the real translation of the word machshava, dimyon. So here, it's not that, oh, the word doesn't really fit because we've usually borrowed this expression. No, this is the real use of the word. V'haniya chishava. It appeared to an observer, if you were watching from a drone, a satellite, or you were on the boat, or not the anshei hasfina, it appeared that the boat would lihishaver. You don't have to say that the word chishva is only a word which can be used by a human being in a thought of a human being, and therefore it doesn't make sense that the boat doesn't think. So we have to say the anshei hasafina, it occurred to them that the boat will be destroyed. No. V'haniya chishva, it appeared. The word, it's not a term that is unique to a person. It's nidmes. It appeared ki ilu hi nishperes. Okay, let's now take a look at the Radak. Radak on page, going back to page 409. V'Hashem heitil chishva li shaver al derech harchava saloshon rotzoloimer anshei ho'aniyah choshvu shetishaver ho'aniyah. The Radak is bothered by this very issue. He's not discussing the word hetil. He ignores that. He only wants to focus on the word chishuva. Obviously, he's not very comfortable with this word. And he says exactly what we learned in the Mitzudo Stavit, that you have to add missing words. A mikra choser. The anshei hasafina, the word chishuva, can only be used by a human being. No such thing. Boats don't think. And therefore, we have no choice but to say it means the people on the ship, it occurred to them, Shetishaver Hawaniya. Let's take a look. Okay, the next words. No, that's it. Pasakei. Okay, back to Pasakei. No, I'm sorry, we didn't finish the Mitsudos. I'm sorry, you know, I forgot. We're doing two psukim together. So let's go back and do the Mitsudos and Pasakei. Page 410 on the bottom, the Mitsudos David. Vayi Riu Hamalochim. The sailors were terrified, were afraid. Melichei hasafina hispachadu. They were filled with pachad. V'chol echad mehem tzo'ak lehispalel el ho'avodas k'chavim shaloi. They weren't pagans, I'm sorry. Pagan is like someone that doesn't believe.
They believe in God.
I'm sorry. It means they all were believers. That also is something that is very interesting, is that the people on this ship were all religious people. Chazal say sailors are Hasidim.
Yeah. It's sort of like there's no atheist in a foxhole.
Exactly. It's a dangerous place and it makes you think, and they were religious people. It's just that they were misguided. They believed in the various gods and they did not believe in Hashem. And they were afraid. Each one began to cry out to their god. Vayotilu hishlichu. Now notice here, he says a whole different translation. The Mitzudo stuff over here is not consistent. Look what it says over here in the Mitzudo Siyoid, Vayotilu, Inyan Hashlocha. To cast. See, that's the word. Okay, that's where it fits. See, that's the word, cast, Hashlocha. Kumo, V'heitalti Eschem, I, Heitalti. Now he's telling us here it means to cast. But didn't he just say one moment ago in the beginning of the pasuk, the word he gave us a different translation of the word for the word, the holder of Heitil, and there he said a lamin, the lynch hasa'ah, and it's an Aramaic word, it's not even a Hebrew word, and here it appears to be a Hebrew word. So can this really be? Is this a very big chiddush to say? Is that the word, this shoresh, there are two different words. There's the Hebrew word, and there is the Aramaic word, and they mean different things. And this pasuk is using both of them together. Well, that's what it appears from the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos seems to be teaching us that the first word is an Aramaic translation of the word Hesia, and the second use of the word is a word which means Hashlocha in its Hebrew form as found in Yirmiyah. Is that correct to say such a thing? I don't know, but it sure seems like it. It's, okay, this requires more study. Let's go further. We discussed that. Very good, very good. That's correct. That is correct. Vayatilu hishlichu ez hakelim min asvina el hayam lihok lehokel mealeim hamasa lemantuchal leleches beredifa mibli manea, in order to allow the ship to toss and turn, in order to avoid friction, in order to avoid the friction, we let they lighten the load. Eliyar, so what did Yonah do? He descended, it says here, Yorat. He descended Eliyar Kisei. Now that is incorrect. Yar Kisei does not connote descent. Yar Kisei means the end. The edge or the end. So, what?
Corners.
The corners? Okay, maybe. But Yar Kisei, the Yorat Eliyar Kisei, this doesn't really seem to fit. Those two words don't really seem to fit. He was holach. He was. I don't have a good vocabulary. But yarad is to descend.
Yeah.
Who says he's descending? If you say yarkase doesn't mean the pit, the bottom. Yarkase means the edges. There are better words to refer to the bottom, the pit. The lowest location, the lowest plane in the ship. Yorad and Yar Kisei is not a good shirch, if you ask me. Yet, there must be some depth, some deeper meaning here in why these two words are put together. What?
Deeper.
Yar means he went down. So if you were writing this pasuk, or Michal, what would you say? Yorad el... El Tachtis Hasvina? What would you say?
Unless it's a technical term.
The basement. The basement dump.
What he calls the hold of the ship. Look,
so what's the hold? The Yarkisei is not.
The ship term.
Right. Yarkisei is usually mean it's on a plane.
Yeah, like he went to the other end.
The other end. Went to the edge.
Yarkisei
Oretz. It's not. So don't say the word Yorat. Say he was Holach.
Basement of this ship.
So is the Yarkisei the correct term for the basement?
Because he's talking.
Yeah.
On the keel, different terms.
There are different terms. Yarkisei does not appear to be the correct term. Yarkisei, it's a lemar el achas. He says el achas me hayar chosayim, one of the edges. V'chein vayikover bo'ore gilad, as it says. In this pasuk in Shayfi, Vayikove v'ari gilad, I don't know what it means by that.
Yarkisei is nothing from Yerech.
The thigh. The Yorech is the lower portion of the body. It's true. It is referred to as a lower portion. Look over here in the Mitzudo Sion. Yarkisei, Eiver v'tzad. Just goes to prove my point. Doesn't mean the bottom. Eiver v'tzad kamo Yerech ha-mizbeach.
Yes.
The side. All right, whatever it means. Let's leave it for now. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi pasake the hamalochim. What are the malochim? Okay, these are the sailors. Why are sailors called malochim? B'nei Adam, hamanhigim es hasfina. He just says the people who guide. The manhigim es hasfina. That he's not really giving us the etymology of the word. What does the Mitzudos of it say? Look at Mitzudos Tzion. Okay, salt. Why salt? What is salt?
Sea water.
Very good. Correct.
A slang term for sailor is salt. Right. Like an old salt.
So he's saying it's because of the salt water, because they're immersed in the salt of the sea. Or the other we mentioned last week, it refers mimuloch tahor by the Ketores. It says Mimulach Tahar Kodesh. And there, it's translated thoroughly mixed. Mimulach, thoroughly, thoroughly mixed. So a malach, when you sail, when you take the oars and you turn the oars, what does it appear? It appears as if you're stirring, you're mixing the water. So you're mixing. So one of the reasons why they're called malachim is because when you sail, you're mixing. You're a good old-fashioned food processing machine. You're mixing the waters thoroughly, and that's why it's called mimulach tahar kodesh. The Ketores was thoroughly mixed, it was tar and it was kodesh. That's why they call malachim, or because of salt, because of the element of salt that's found in the water. But what does it say over here in Rashi? Rashi is none of the above. Rashi doesn't give us the etymology, or maybe he is giving us the etymology, I don't know. Bnei Adam, Haman Higim, Es Hasfina, human beings. Okay, you can't go call an engine, according to Rashi, you can't go call a modern day turbine engine a call, and you cannot call it a malach. Because a malach has to be called Bnei Adam, human beings. Why do you have to say that? Bnei Adam, Haman Higim, Es Hasfina, what about a computer, GPS? They have just like they have today. They have cars that drive driverless cars. They have a lot of ships today. They have driverless ships today.
They invented the GPS
with a ship.
It's the construction of the word ma la him. Is whenever there's an occupation or a profession like sapon gamol, that's what he's telling. Occupation.
We are converted. Is the malach? What are the oars called? What's the Hebrew word for the oar?
Chaka.
What?
Chaka.
Chaka. Yeah. So that's the same. That's the same shirt. No, it's a different word. All right, I don't know. All right, but sometimes you take a noun and you convert the noun into a.
No, it's you take the verb of the occupation, of the work being performed, and you make a noun out of it.
Make it noun, the other way around, right.
Kayos.
Okay. All right, let's take a look. Let's now look at, okay, next. Ish El, next Rashi. Ish El Elohav Mishivim Umos Hayusham. Look at that incredible Maimon Chazal. Now this right away shakes us off from what we learned in the Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, you get the impression he paid for the passage of Vayitein Sechara, and he said, "Let's get the show on the road. Let's depart." So who's on the ship? Who? 5, 10? How big were ships in those days? Well, they had these big ocean liners. How big was the ship? Let's get the. You want to go fill up the ship with 30, 40, 50 people? I don't got time for this. We got to go right away. I got to get out of town. I'll pay for the whole ship. Let's go. Vayelech imoyim. Vayerid ba lova imoyim. So who's on the ship? And then we have the machleik is. There should be a few more nations because of Shmuel. Shmuel did not cross the bridge unless he went with someone else. Because in Shemayim, they don't. You can't sign off on tragedy unless you get the signatures of all of the advocates of all of the nations, of the representatives of the people on the ship. So you get the impression, Pasuk.
Shivim, maybe from Shivim.
Doesn't say all? Mi Shivim Umois Hayusham. Mi Shivim. It sounds like all 70. What?
From the
70? Mi Shivim. Okay, I don't know what it means.
If he was a Navi, it makes sense that he was going to give the deus to a non-Jewish.
Obviously, there was a lot going on. Obviously, there's a lot going on over here. Every little letter over here. There's a lot to learn. Okay, what Rashi means, we have to see the Chazal. Maybe we'll see more precisely, and then really pay so much attention to all these little details. We'll see as we go along. But Rashi says something which, whether you want to say it was a few, the fact that Rashi just says the word automatically wakes us up and says the whole world over here is watching. Mishivim u'umayis, on this ship we have either 70 representatives of the nations or we have some of them, but the fact that we're referring to the Shivim u'umayis, obviously there's something very, very significant. Now let's see the Radak. Radak, we already did Pasek, Pasek Hey, poor page 411, Vayiru'u hamalochim, heim toivsei hamishoitim. Okay, those who hold on to the oars. But the word oar, the mashot or the shot, not sure what the exact sherish is, but the people holding on to the oars, they are called the malachim. Next, al yakas asfina, radak, for 11, the very top corner, el achas min ayar chasayim, what are the corners? Good morning. V'chein v'yikover ba'ari gilad, al ayir ben asoynais. So what is he trying to bring out of the? I think over here he's talking about el. I didn't pay attention. The focus of the Radak and the Metzudah Stavit is not the word Yarkisei. His focus is the word El. Okay, El Yarkisei. What's the word El? Towards. Okay, this week's Haftarah there was a Krivich Sif. Al and El. I made that mistake. I even got prepared. I still made the mistake. It's very embarrassing. So you have to appreciate the difference between the word Al and the word El. Okay, in this week's Haftarah, anyone remember? In this week's Haftarah, Machar Chodesh. Okay, the very first or second pasuk, it said the word, it was written, it was spelled in the pasuk, El, and the Kri is Al. So these are words, are very delicate words. And that is what the Radak here is coming to focus on in the Metzudos. It says here, El Yarkisei Hasafina. It really should have been spelled with Al Yarkisei Hasafina. That would appear to be more correct. And that's why they explain, no, it's okay. Vayikaveh ba'arei gilad, it says, I'm not sure what he means over there, but Vayikaveh ba'arei gilad. I'm not sure, I don't know. But the next one is clear. Ve'al ir ben asoynais. Al ayir. Ve'al ayir ben asoynais. All right, let's leave it with that for now. Maybe we'll come back. I don't know. Let's put that aside for now. Let's go further to the Malbim. Okay, let's take a look at the Malbim. Back pasuk Dalid and Hey. Dalid and Hey, page 408. 408. Page 408 is the Malbim pasuk Dalid. We begin over here with the word Vahashem. And that's a very significant... 4, I'm sorry, you're right. I was looking at the grub by mistake. I'm sorry, you're right. Page 409, Baruch Hashem. Everyone's paying very good attention. Baruch Hashem.
Okay. You're testing us.
I'm not testing you. No, I'm not.
In the hold of the ship, they sometimes have like planks that stick out, and you lay down on
top of it. Aha. Al Yarkisei.
On that plank or whatever.
On the plank.
Like, you see on ships, like they're like cots. They come out from the walls, like planks.
Okay.
And then you sleep on it. That's your bunk.
Okay.
So that's what he means here. How he would lay down on that. Not, he didn't go L into the
hole. Ah, let's go back. The Yoni Yorad El Yarkisei Hasina.
It's how
Al.
He lay down
upon the planks, the Yarkisei Hasina. So Yarkisei, you're saying doesn't necessarily mean the edge. It can mean
ledge.
Like the planks.
It could be like
a ledge. The side, the Yarkisei has a ledge where you can lay down. Very, very good. See, Mama, you really revealed to us Pshut Shel Mikra. That's the significance. That comes to explain the word Yorad. Yorad means he's coming to lie down. Vayishka means he lie down. Vayor means he descended. Okay, he descended. El Yarkisei does not mean El towards. Normally we translate El means towards. But that's not what it means in this context. It means Al. He descended Al upon to lie down flat. Yarkisei Hasafina, a section of the boat which allowed itself to be lie down upon. Vayishkav Vayerodam. Very, very easily. Back in the Mitsudos, let's see. Yarkisei Aver, that was the Vayikover Boore Gilad. No, I'm not so sure that's what the Mitsudos means to say. Okay, maybe we'll come across more, but you're saying something very, very important. El and Al are interchangeable sometimes, and that would change the meaning of the pasuk here. El Al, right? The earline, El Al. Very good. That's right. You have to, now with this idea, I never.
But that's a pasuk.
There are two psukim. There are two psukim that say elal. There are two psukim that have very different meanings. We discussed this once at length, this idea. But now that we have this new insight, el and al are related, but yet different. El means towards, al means upon. And in sometimes, like this week's Haftarah, is a krivich siv, el and al. And here we have the word el, which seemingly means al. Obviously, there's something more that needs to be understood. Okay, let's take a look at the Malbim Pasik Dalit. The Malbim, as you said, is on page 409. The Hashem Heitil Ruach Gedoyla El Hayam Be'er Sha Ruach Hazel Ohoye B'teva Hayam Oz. It was not in the forecast. Okay, the forecast was a beautiful sunny day like the sunshine states. A nice, beautiful, beautiful day with oranges and not a cloud in the sky. So how in the world did it happen that there was suddenly a storm? That is why it says here, V'Hashem Heitil, that's the word Heitil, Hashem, he brought this about. Be'er, Sharuach Hazel Lohoye B'teva Hayamos, Ki Lohoye Oz Ho'es L'Sa'ar. It was not in the forecast. Rak, Hashem Hetiloy B'Hashkocho. Hashem brought about something unusual. V'lifamim Tavay Hasa'ara Min Hayabasha. Sometimes a storm comes from dry land. V'oz yinshev haruach b'tzad echad, the wind blows from one side, v'yigoresh hasfin l'tzad shekenegdo, and pushes the ship in a direction that it was not, did not intend to go. V'oz yimotzeh haruach b'chol shetach hayam, the wind is found in the entire area of the yam, aval ruach ze omad v'oimek hayam min hamayim atzma. So he's first trying to describe to us science, which I don't know if this is the way it works today, because usually today all the storms start out in the sea. Isn't that the way it goes? And it comes to dry land, that's why it breaks up, because when it comes to dry land, it doesn't have the resources to maintain itself. He's saying over here something very strange, is that the storms usually start out on dry land, and from there it spreads into the sea. That's not the way I think
no, only a hurricane goes the other way.
Yeah, a tornado. The storms form where? On dry land or tornado? How does a tornado come about?
A tornado is only on dry land.
But it does, right? So a tornado is only on dry land, and then when it comes to water, what happens?
Well, the water spout or
it stops.
What happens is usually with the storms, they'll start like in California.
But when it comes, there's nothing special when it comes to the sea that it's violent. Usually, when we hear about violence at sea, it's because that's where the conditions are for it to develop into a very strong storm. All of the dangerous things that we hear about at sea usually are storms that form at sea. And it creates havoc. It's not common to have a storm, like a tornado. Okay, strong winds are a tornado at dry land, and the tornado then travels out into the sea and causes havoc. It's not so. And even if it causes havoc, it's just 1, 2, 3. It's a very short lived. It's not a long. So he's saying over here something which I don't know how familiar we are with this principle. We have to bring a meteorologist. Wait, let me just finish that. We have to bring a meteorologist to understand what it means. He's saying here that under normal circumstances, there is a storm that starts off on dry land and it travels into the sea and it causes trouble. And that is predictable. And here is something unusual. The storm started at sea. In our understanding, I think usually it's just the opposite. Let's read the words inside one more time. You can say something, but in the right time. Let's first finish the thought, and then you'll tell us. Asakol osa yofe b'itoy. Let's read the words of the Malbim. It's not the time. Rock. Hashem itilo b'hashkocha. Now here you go. This again, this last word on the line. V'lifamim, tavei hasada min hayavash. Sometimes the storm comes from yabosha, the dry land. V'oz yinshoiv haruach, the storm that's formulating on dry land blows haruach b'tzadech on one side. V'yugarish hasvino l'tzad shekinegda, and pushes the boat further out into sea. And then when the ship is out at sea, it's surrounded by wind on all sides. I don't know what that means. Aval, but this is unusual. Ruach ze omad be'oimek hayom min hamayim atzma. It came, its source was the depths of the sea. Shelipa'amim tavoy haruach mitohoim hamayim. Occasionally, a hurricane. Hurricane is not occasionally, that's the way it is. That's the only way it is. V'hoya seviv hasefina hazois. It surrounded the ship. U'kvar amr chazal, shehaniyois v'acheirois ovru b'sholoim kilohoya ruach. All the other ships reached their destination safely. We turn the page. We turn the page to kilohoya ruach koilel. There was no general wind. Okay, page 411. Umitoyach kacher gishu hamalachim shehu oynish hashkachi. The fact that it was only this ship that was being tossed and turned, it was an indication that this was something, a divine action. Oynish hashkachi uvimashpert. Now, next point. Uvimash amar v'haniya chishvali shaver. We're going now to this very unusual expression which we mentioned in Rashi and Radak. And the mitzvahs, everyone is struggling what this means. Over here, the boat thought that it's going to be destroyed. Kos of Rav Rabbi Yitzchak bar Benehel, shaniya loy tishav b'lev yamim, rak titba. It does not mean like what the mitzvahs said, that it's going to be broken. It means it's going to capsize. It's going to sink. V'lo tishaver, rak im yashlichena haruach el hasloim asher b'choif. The only way it will be broken to smithereens is if it smashes violently into the rocks that are on the dry land. V'yalkein perash anshe ho'aniya mipachdam pentitba ho'aniya, because they were terrified that the ship may sink. B'gale hayam umish barov. Umishbarov chashvu machashavos. Umishbarov kama. Okay, it's going to sink because of the strong waves. Umishbarov and all of the, I guess, the harsh.
They were thinking to bring it back to dry land, but they couldn't. That's what he's saying.
So chashvu machashavos lahatoy swania el oret shetishaver sham ba'oivin shektsas yinatlu biyosim krovim el hayabasha. Some of them will survive. They'll swim. V'zeh doicha gadol. Okay, so let's review what he's trying to say over here. He's trying over here. The Rabbi Abinel is trying is building upon the issue that we discussed when we started the share today. The Mitzudos David says, what exactly was the concern? Was the concern that the ship will sink, or was the concern the ship will be ripped apart? So the Mitzudos David says, well, what are they doing here? They're throwing things off the ship. Why does throwing something off the ship solve the problem? And therefore the Mitzudos David said the only logical understanding is that the primary concern is the ship will be ripped apart because of the friction of the various forces. The waves are shaking the ship up and down. The weight of the items on the ship are preventing it from moving freely up and down. This is causing friction, and this friction will rip the ship apart. The solution is, let the ship go up and down like a yo-yo. So let's lighten the load. Is there any mention here, in the Mitzudos David, that there is a concern the ship will sink? No, that's not the concern. Because if the concern the ship will sink, maybe adarabha, they should let in more water into the ship and make the ship even heavier. By making it even heavier, it'll give it more balance. It'll prevent it from shaking so much, from capsizing. I'm not sure of the science, the techniques. What?
The extra giant oil tankers,
yeah,
have a problem. When they get into rough sea, they get bounced up and down, and they're so heavy that the sides expand, and it pops all the rivets. It's like 9/11. The boat just goes down in seconds because the whole world.
So what is the solution?
The solution is not to send them into bad weather. They're very sensitive to it.
Okay, but the Mitzudot Stavet made it clear as day that it's not a matter of sinking. It's a matter of something much more violent.
But if you can't let out fuel oil, you have big oil tank.
Pollution. Pollution.
You can't let it out.
The weight is there, yeah.
Maybe it's this. The ship is going up and down. And the heavier it is, the more violent it is when it goes down.
That's what he said. He said, okay.
If you lighten a load, then the force will bounce it.
I hear what you're saying. He's saying that the impact of going down is more violent, but he didn't even say that. He seemed to say this friction, that the weight prevents it from going up and down as it naturally would. And that contradiction, that struggle, puts enormous pressure on the ship, on its integrity, and it rips it apart. Whatever it is, the issue is not capsizing. That's
Unless
not the issue.
You say that Vayatilas HaKelem is some Indian of Avodah Zarah, that it had something to do with if they felt that they
threw it. To lie, Lehakel Me'alehem. It doesn't say, if it would just say they threw the Kelem, they threw the Avodah Zarah, and would not say why, you're right. But maybe there's a drash, but the Pshut HaShel Mikra, we hear the words Lehakel Me'alehem, which seems to indicate that it's a matter of weight. Wait, there's a weight issue. The Abarbanel says something, he says that when it says here, read the words again of the Abarbanel. One more time, these words. He's saying over here something that is, and obviously we have to appreciate that there's going to be a very significant difference, al derech drush and machshava, in what is the sakana. If the sakana is the ship sinking, that's a very different message than the sakana of the ship being ripped apart. Think about you in life. People have nisyonos in life. So sometimes the nisyonos are so great, they lose their mind. They literally go crazy. They have a meltdown, and they end up in a hospital, and they're not functional. Their mind was overloaded, and they short circuit. And there are sometimes, people don't have a meltdown. They just throw in the towel. They throw in the towel. I'm here. I'm supposed to be an observant religious Jew. It's too hard. So you know what? I quit. I'm going to give up things in life that I in the past strive to achieve. When you give up what your goals are, it means you sunk. You sunk. If you lose your mind because I just cannot deal with all the pressures, and I have to go take medication, and I have to go, who knows what, and they lock me up somewhere, that means you were ripped to shreds. You were ripped apart. This, everything here is a mashal, a nimshal, I mean, it is pshut shel mikra, especially according to the Gra. The Gra learns all that we discussed, it's all the neshama and the guf. But if you don't want to go to the extreme of the Gra, the neshama and the guf, Hashem is sending a message to Yonah. Yonah, you're going to run away from me. You're going to run away. Yonah goes into the ship. My first message to you is, you are now in danger. There's a fundamental difference. What is the danger? What is the message? What is Hashem saying to Yonah? If the danger is the ship's going to rip to little pieces, that's one message. If the sakan is you're going to sink, and the whole ship's going to go underground, and maybe 1,000 years later, they're going to send down some submarine to go and discover it and bring it up, that's a different message. It's a whole different, and it's important to appreciate what is the sakana. The Mitzudos could not be clearer. It's going to be ripped to shreds. The Abarbanel, let's read the words one more time. We're almost out of time, so we'll stop. Let's read these words. He writes, no. Kosaf harav, Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel, shuania, lo tishover belev yamim. But it says in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk. Vania chishvali shover. The Abarbanel lived in the time of Columbus, by the way, okay? And that was the big deal in those days, exploration. You know, ships, that was probably in history. Probably that was the spitz.
Well, there was a choice. I mean, he's saying that they were afraid that it's going to sink. The alternative would be to go towards the Abasha where it would be
okay,
broken.
Okay, right. So let's... Okay, let's see. So, but right now he's saying, he's right, he's embellishing the pasuk, and he's saying, the first concern he says is, right now, as long as we're at sea, We're not gonna break. Why should the ship break apart into little pieces? There are no rocks. There's nothing over here. The only concern is the storm is so violent that it capsizes. The wind will topple us over and we'll sink. Rock titba. Doesn't say that in the pasuk. No, it says chishvali shaver. Veloti shaver. The only way, how could it possibly break? Rak im yashlicheno haruach el hasloim asher bachoif. The only way the ship can break is if there's a violent impact. If the wind will take the ship to a place, the choif hayam, the shore, and will come in contact with big, massive rocks. I guess like in the, that was the icebergs. But the shoreline. You know, when they come in, some of the most sophisticated technology today is when these massive ocean liners. I once saw this video. Oceans, because I had to go look at all these videos now about how these ships work. When it comes, let's say, to New York, there are these massive. The formation of the water underneath is not level, and these massive ocean liners, they are so deep in the water, we can't even imagine, and they have to be very careful to navigate when they come into shore, even to port, to dock in New York, in New York City, get stuck or damaged. And they have radar, very high-tech radar, which observes the seabed to navigate, not to get stuck in a ditch or some type of a protrusion, some type of hill in the water which will destroy the ship. And they have to mamish, change course and navigate very delicately to come into port very delicately. So he's saying over here, the only way the ship's going to be breaking apart is it's going to crash into rocks. Asher b'choif, which is the seabed. The word choif is the seabed. Is that correct? V'alkein, perash. So what is he saying over here? How could the pasuk say chishvali shaver? That's not the mitzias. Okay, he knew this, the Abarbanel. He lived in a time when the expertise in sailing and in shipbuilding was at its peak. So he says, he looks at this pasuk, he sees this pasuk doesn't seem to fit with the way we understand how it works. And therefore, v'alkein perash anshe hoaniya mipachtim pentitva hoaniya. You know, the truth is, that was the fear. The fear was, it's going to sink. So what were they going to do? Hornia begale hayam umish borav, due to the intensity of the waves and its ferocity. So what did they do? Chosh had a great plan. Let us dock. Let us now change course and get to dry land ASAP before we sink. But by going to dry land ASAP, we're going to come in contact with the seashore and these hills on the seabed, and the boat is going to crash violently against these rocks, and it's going to break. Then it will break. But at least we'll be closer to seashore. Maybe there'll be some survivors who can swim and make it to dry land.
About the teva and the ruach being different also is connected with the seashore, because you have land breezes and sea breezes when there's a pressure difference between the two, but that's really only when you
come to dry land. You're going to get near dry land. Let's change course. But when we come there, we're entering into a danger zone of the ship, the bottom of the ship hitting hard, a hard surface on the seabed. It's worth the risk. Here, in the middle of the sea, we're going to sink. The alternative is to change course and go near dry land where we may hit some type of a rock which will break the ship. But that's a better option, because at least there may be survivors. And therefore, when it says in the pasuk, look what he's saying, it's an incredible thing. He's saying they planned. It's not that, oh no, the boat may come apart. They deliberately decided, let's let the ship go down by being broken instead of it going down by sinking.
Well, Choshva is like Chishav, is to calculate.
So Chishava, he's translating to mean they had a plan. Let us plan that the boat should come to an end by breaking apart into smithereens better then the default, what's going to happen now, that it's going to sink. If we do nothing, the boat's going to sink. So what should we do? Cheshiva. Let's maneuver the boat in a way and guide it so that lehishaver, the boat should come to an end through being broken apart when it comes to a violent end on the seabed near dry land, because then at least we'll have some survivors. So isn't that an amazing pshat? We have Maskana, we really came away with three different translations of this very unusual expression. V'ania, chishava lehishaver. Mitzudois and the Radak said, the boat, you have to add words. Doesn't make one bit of sense. You have to add words into the pasuk. It means, v'anshe ho'ania. Chishava, the lamed also doesn't fit so well. Chishava, you have to say like, shehishaver. They thought that due to the violence that storm, you know, it may just happen that this boat will be ripped apart due to the violent storm. So they're telling you in a word, and they're telling you that the danger is not that the boat's going to sink. The danger is the violence will be caused to be ripped apart. Rashi says, I don't know where you got that word from. I don't know. I agree with you, the boat will be ripped to smithereens, but I don't know where you put the word, doesn't say that. Do you know what the word chishuva really means? Dimyoin. The real translation from machshava is fantasy, in imagination. Dimyoin, what it appears. It doesn't mean a thought of a human being. An appearance, I don't have a good word. Dimyoin. What's a good word for dimyoin?
Imagination.
So the translation is v'honiya chishuva. It appeared, not the Anshe HaSafina, again, the problem is we usually associate the word Chishuva with a human being, the thought process of a human being. Rashi, that's not what the word Chishuva means. Chishuva, this that we say of Machshava is a borrowed term. Chishuva means an appearance, a dimyoin. We borrow that word and we have a word machashava, we take it and we use it for human beings. But the pure translation of what chishuva means, it appeared the boat's gonna leashav. You don't need to inject the word anshe. And then we have this beautiful pshat from the Abarbanel, and he says, chishuva means they made a calculated decision. Mayday, mayday, we're gonna ditch the boat. Okay? This boat's going to come to an end. Ship's going to come to an end one way or another. Let us be the one who makes the decision. Let's control the narrative. Let's be the one who makes the decision how it will meet its end. If we do nothing, it's going to sink. So you know what? Chishuva. Let us now redirect it in a direction where it will definitely not sink, but we will put it in great danger where it will lihishaver, to be ripped apart, and that's a better option, because there's a greater chance of survival.
There are places where it says Mitzrayim, and Targum Uklis says the people of Mitzrayim.
The people of Mitzrayim. Okay, so it depends on the context. But where you don't need to do it, you know, even according to the Abarbanel, you're also really adding in the Anshe HaSfina. V'huania means, he's not really addressed that, he's similarly, the Anshe Huania Chishuva made a deliberate decision, a calculated decision, to bring an end to the life of the boat, Lihishaver, by having it crash land in this location, because here, there's more of a chance of survival. Three very different translations, and obviously as we go through, there's a very different message being presented to Yonah and all of us, learning this of what Hashem is trying to say to him. All right.